please the court, my name is John Bungie, and I represent the plaintiff below in the appellate in this court for Cloud Corporation. This is an appeal from a decision in favor of the defendant Hasbro. The case was tried at the bench trial, and the district court filed a 45-page written opinion. The first 32 pages of that opinion consist of 67 findings of fact. It is our contention these findings of fact require that the decision below be reversed. The case arises out of a failed toy developed and marketed by Hasbro called the Wonder World Aquarium. This was in
It failed in Asia.
No, it didn't. Failed in the United States, Your Honor.
Failed in the United States,
yeah.
Too.
What happened is we had these...
Is that it? Oh, those
this
are just
is
the
it,
packets.
Your Honor. This is the packets.
Bring
these
the aquarium.
The packets. And we took these packets and shipped them to the Far East, where in the Far East, now, as I understand it, they assembled this package, including our packets and other materials that went... That went into the package, and then they turned around and shipped the package back to the United States in the time period we're talking about.
Oh, I see. It wasn't an Asian market.
That's correct, Your
they
Honor.
Would, they
the
would
United
just
States
assembled.
As a matter of fact,
I didn't understand that.
It was limited to the United States because in order to get the transparent gel, you mixed the gel powder with distilled water.
Is that the aquarium in there?
It's inside this package, Your Honor.
So it's that small, the aquarium?
This one is, Your Honor. I suspect they had bigger ones. This is the one that I had.
I see. So this was marketed in the United States, and it flopped.
Yes. But they thought everybody thought it was going to be a big success.
You can see we're not used to show and tell here. Fascinated by that. I want to get to, you claim that the Chemist June 1996 letter was an offer to modify the contract. How does that document convey Hasbro's intent to be bound by a modification to price or quantity?
This isn't that letter, Your Honor, but it's a suggestion to modify. I mean, you have the situation. You had an oral agreement, okay? It's based on Rev E, which are the contract specifications up to that point. Mr. Doan sends his letter of June 3rd, which says, okay, from now on, put one quarter less material in each of the packets. Okay? Now, he recognized internally, I mentioned this in the briefs, in an internal memo at Hasbro, he said that one of the results of this was going to be that they would cost less and there would be more of them, more packets. Mm-hmm. But in any event, he didn't say that in this letter, but he said change to Rev G. So you have one-third or one-fourth less, you have one-fourth less material in them. The laponite, which is the basic raw material, was already on order. Cloud assumed, I'm not sure of what basis, that Hasbro wanted all of the laponite that was then on order used in this product. And so it prepared, in response to Mr. Doan's letter, it prepared the order acknowledgments, which are in the separate appendix,
right.
Exhibits 104 and 106, and it said, okay, basically, if you want this quantity, and if you want to use all the laponite, this is the quantity of packets you're going to get. This is the new lower price that you will have. And this also... this is a projected delivery schedule. And it's a combination of of Mr. Doan's letter and Cloud's response in the order acknowledgments that created at least the initial steps towards the formation of this agreement.
You know, Mr. Bungie, yes. It is certainly true that Cloud supplied production figures to Hasbro that could and perhaps should have alerted it to the fact that Cloud was going to produce more packets, than Hasbro had originally agreed to. But what evidence is there, evidence that Hasbro actually realized that Cloud was exceeding the original purchase amount and that it agreed to purchase those amounts?
I'm assuming that we looked at the objective evidence to determine the objective intent of the parties as shown by the documents, okay? The evidence consists But we sent them the order acknowledgement saying we're going to produce this number of packs. They didn't respond. We sent them, we talked to them in June, and in the conversation was we said we're going to produce a total of 3.6 million small and 3.6 million large. This is evidenced by their documents. They didn't say anything to us. As late as December, we sent them, we called them and said, okay, this is getting near the end. We called them and said, okay, we're going to produce a total of 1.2 million large and 1.3 million small in December and January, and nobody said, hey, that's in excess of the quantity.
I mean, did they just say, thank you, goodbye, or?
Apparently, Your Honor.
I mean, what was?
I don't believe we have testimony as to what exactly was said in the conversation. What we have are the Hasbro documents, which say, this is the schedule I've gotten from our vendor, which indicates to me, if Hasbro is telling its Far East vendor that this is a schedule I've gotten, it indicates that they must have agreed to that schedule, so they wouldn't be passing it on to the Far East. And also, as we mentioned, as late as December and January, Mr. Doan is writing letters to us saying, okay, this is the formula that you're supposed to use in producing the packets in December and in January. Even though at that time Hasbro's offices in the Far East were telling Hasbro, we don't need any more packets. But nobody ever contacted us to stop. We went ahead and produced them on the expectation that these documents, which we had shared with them, we had sent to them, were the governing contract quantities. Nobody said anything for 6 months. Finally, we went ahead and produced them. And finally, in March of 1977, somebody calls up and says, oh, we had this oral agreement back in February and April, and that's really the controlling document.
So is your argument, in short, that in light of the previous relations between the parties, the silence on Hasbro's part was acceptance?
I don't think it's in light of the previous relationship, Your Honor, although they always, I believe, the pattern was...
Well, I mean, in the sense that you've been dealing with them for a while, so it wasn't that you were strangers, and after people deal with each other for a while... Their dealings tend to become less formal, so they don't cross every T.
They certainly were less formal, Your Honor, although I would submit on this kind of case where we told them again and again what we were going to do and then invested our money.
Well, that's what I mean by the silence. Because they had expressed concern also about the long delay between the placing of an order and the actual manufacture and shipment back to the United States. So the circumstances include they're in a hurry. They seem to be in a hurry for this stuff, and they've reduced the formula, which means they're going to need more of these packages. So you tell them you're going to produce more, and they don't say anything. And I'm saying you treated their silence as an acceptance of a modification.
Yes, Your Honor.
What amounts to
that? That's correct. And this leads to the, basically when you come to the district court's decision, we've talked about the findings of fact. There were three conclusions of law. The first is that there was an oral agreement in February and April. And as we mentioned in the brief, we'll accept this. The second decision by the district court is that there was not a modification within the meaning of 2.209 because the agreement did not satisfy the UCC statute of frauds in this instance. And the district court said that an agreement has to be in writing. It's our position that the facts here do satisfy the UCC statute of frauds. First of all, these were specially manufactured goods within the meaning of the UCC. Secondly, we sent them the order acknowledgments that they did not respond to, which they're supposed to respond to under 2-2012 within 10 days. And thirdly, in our view, the emails that Kathy Esposito sent to the Far East, in which she advised the Far East people of the schedule to which Hasbro had agreed, also constituted writing signed by Hasbro, which indicated the existence of a contract. Now, I understand that the, at least it's my understanding, that the statute of frauds is typically a threshold issue, and the question is decide whether or not the statute of frauds is satisfied. And once you get to that, you then go on to the next issue of whether or not there was a contract. It's our view in this case that to get to the second issue, to decide whether or not, once you get past the statute of frauds, you get to the second issue of whether or not there was a contract. Since the district court entered extensive findings of fact, it is not necessary to remand the case, but the court could go ahead and find that there was, in fact, a modification. In other words, there's a case in Illinois and other similar cases that where there's no dispute as to the facts, then it becomes the question of a contract in its terms. It becomes a question of law. In this case, we have 32 pages of findings of fact that detail the findings of fact, and that, in our view, this would amount to a question of law, or alternatively, in the view of the findings of fact that are entered, have been entered by the district court, any decision other than a conclusion that the contract was modified would be totally erroneous.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Bungie.
Thank you.
Mr. Gustinson?
Good morning. May it please the court, counsel. My name is Stephen Gustinson, and I'm the attorney for Hasbro in connection with this matter involving the Wonder World toy. First, in response to Judge Rovner's question, Wonder World, I don't believe there's any evidence it was a flop. Instead, there's evidence, and I think the record established, not that it's critical to this case, but that this was a viable product from 1995 through the end of 1996 and into the beginning of 1997. As counsel explained to the court, what happened in this case is Hasbro placed its orders for that little packet of the Wonder World powder with Cloud. It was then Cloud's responsibility to calculate the amount of laponite, or the amount of all of the raw materials, including laponite, that was necessary in order to build or produce the number of packets that Hasbro ordered.
You know, I mean, Cloud didn't exactly hide from Hasbro the increased numbers of packets that it intended to supply following the formula change. If Hasbro had bothered to check those numbers against what it had ordered and against the deliveries that it had already taken, it would have realized that Cloud was exceeding the contract amount. Instead, it appears to have accepted Cloud's numbers at face value. So why isn't that enough to oblige Hasbro to purchase the excess?
Your Honor, there are two answers to your question. Well, the primary answer to your question is the evidence is quite to the contrary. The evidence has absolutely no support for Cloud's claim that it advised Hasbro as to how many packets of the Wonder World product it was actually putting into production. What
but
your
Cloud
Honor
was trying to help you. It wasn't trying to fool you into ordering more than you needed. I mean, following up what Judge Rovner said, it's odd about it's a very careful and well written opinion by the district judge, but there's a tension, it seems to me, between the outcome and her actual discussion, because she says Cloud, I'm looking at the conclusion, page 44, Cloud accepted the formula change, probably began to recalculate new lower prices for the packages. The clear result of the formula change was that Cloud had more laponite than it needed to fill the February and April orders, but given Hasbro's repeated message that it couldn't get enough laponite to fill its needs in timely fashion, Cloud's decision to produce as many packs as possible appeared to be a safe course of action. It was trying to keep pace with Hasbro's needs.
That's right.
A task made virtually impossible the length of time it took Southern Clay to fill the laponite. So in other words, Cloud is trying to help you, the parties are dealing in a kind of informal way with this exchange of papers that don't match each other. And you could have told them you didn't need any more of this stuff, but the message didn't get down to Kathy Esposito, who's the one dealing with Cloud. So it just seems very wooden to say that Cloud is stuck with these extra millions of packets. And clearly, you know, it's the emails are indicating, and Esposito is indicating that, you know, she wants 7 million packets, and there may be more or less because the formula has changed. So in other words, she's expecting Cloud to use changes in the formula to recalculate how many packets Hasbro needs.
No, Your Honor, the record does not support Cloud's conclusion based on those documents or based on the conversations that occurred. Your Honor...
But now you're saying that it doesn't support Judge Pallmeyer's conclusion.
No, Your Honor, I'm not saying
because
that. I think
she who's saying that this was safe and that Cloud was trying to keep pace.
What Judge Pallmeyer concluded was that Cloud took a risk. As a matter of fact, Judge Pallmeyer both begins and concludes her opinion with the same comment. She concluded that while the circumstances are sympathetic in this case, Cloud has not established and cannot establish that there was a contract.
That makes your position seem so wooden to me. Because when a supplier is trying to help out, instead of sending, you know, a form and sign on the dotted line, which is going to go through layers of management and get lost in the shuffle, and you're going to have a non-conforming responsive document, they figure out, well, look, they've changed the formula, they have this shortage, so we just tell Esposito, okay, you know, you need more packets, make more packets. They don't go through the rigmarole of documentary exchange, but...
Judge Posner, that's not what happened. And we know that's not what happened because Jeff Graham, who is the only person at Cloud that deals with Hasbro, other than the actual production people, Jeff Graham testified. He admitted at trial. We had to call him as an adverse witness because Cloud didn't want him. But when we called him, he admitted at trial that there were never any discussions that Cloud was going to be producing more packages as a result of the June 3rd formula change.
He didn't need discussions because the tenor of these email exchanges between Esposito and Cloud is that the number of packages that, and she says, when she says, you know, more or less depending on the formula, what that means is that the number of packages that Hasbro needs depends on the formula, and when the amount of the...
Kathy Esposito never said that, Your Honor.
Excuse me?
Kathy Esposito never said that, Judge. Kathy Esposito...
It's an email.
No, Your Honor. What Kathy Esposito's emails provide, what they say, is that I've sat down or I've talked to our vendor...
It doesn't say that. I mean, look at Plaintiff's Exhibit 113. It doesn't say anything about that.
Your Honor, all Kathy Esposito...
We have approximately 3 million of large and 3 million small packets left to make with our MA, more or less, depending on the formula change.
And, Your Honor, that's based on Kathy Esposito's August 7th email, which says, I've sat down or I've talked to my vendor, and this is the schedule with which I was provided. But, Your Honor, it's even more clear than that, because if you go back to Mr. Graham, the one person who was communicating with Hasbro on this, not only did Mr. Graham say that the formula change did not result in more packages, Mr. Graham went further than that, Judge. Mr. Graham admitted...
Well, what do you mean the formula change doesn't...
The June 3rd
doesn't
formula
...doesn't alter the number of packages?
Mr. Graham...
That's just a mechanical relation.
No, it's not, Judge, because here the burden was on Cloud. The response...
I'm telling you that's a fact. If you have less of the Lapinites, you have more packages, don't you?
You do, and therefore the vendor, and we pointed this out, Mr. Keene made this perfectly clear. Mr. Keene was the vice president of Cloud, who's responsible for customer relations and sales. And Mr. Keene said, when there's a formula change, if that's going to result in more raw material that we, Cloud, order for our customer, we don't go ahead and just make more packages. That's not the way it works. This is Mr. Keene testifying. Mr. Keene said, when that happens, there are two options. We, Cloud, will go back to our customer and say, do you want us to back off of the raw materials and continue to produce the number of packets you ordered? And the point I was trying to make, Judge, is Mr. Graham not only said that he didn't discuss or even consider that the formula change increased the number of packets, but Mr. Graham said that the specific number of packets ordered in April and in February were the only order of packets,
you know,
no other orders. So what Mr. Keen said is that we call our customer. We would call Hasbro, and Graham would be the one to do it, Keen said, and we would say, do you want us to back off the materials, or do you want us to produce more packets?
But look how ridiculous that would have seemed in the circumstances. Here, Hasbro is doing everything it can to get more Laffanite into Cloud's hands.
To produce the packets that Hasbro ordered.
Yes, but here is Cloud, and it's got this huge amount of Laffanite, which didn't just fall out of the sky. It's because of Hasbro's anxiety about having enough stuff to fill the orders for this wonderful toy that's about to flop. So they have all the Laffanite. Now they're informed that there's the formula is being changed to make the Laffanite stretch farther, and so it's natural for them to assume what this means is Hasbro wants them to make more packages as fast as possible. It was a mistake, and it was a mistake due partly to their not calling, as you say, but also due to Hasbro's mysterious failure to convey to them the collapse of its market.
Well, I don't think it's a mysterious failure, Your Honor, because there was no collapse of the market until 1997. In 1996, we wanted our February and April purchase orders delivered. In February and April 1996, we ordered the production that we needed for 1996.
That you thought you needed, but later in June or whenever it was, you thought you needed a lot more.
No,
and then
Judge,
you discovered, because
no,
of bad communication with Asia, that you didn't need more.
No, Judge, Hasbro did not think it needed any more in June. The record is...
Why were you sending all that, getting Southern Clay to send all that Laffanite to Cloud?
Because Cloud called us up. They sent the July 30th letter to Ms. Esposito, Plaintiff's Exhibit 118, and Cloud said the reason we're seriously behind in meeting your purchase orders, the purchase orders from February and April, is because this is our schedule for obtaining Laffanite from Southern Clay. Cloud has a schedule. These are for 1996 orders, which are supposed to be on the shelves by Christmas time in 1996. And Cloud is telling Hasbro the orders that we, Cloud, placed with Southern Clay, some of them won't be arriving until November, December, and January, according to Plaintiff's Exhibit 118. Cloud is telling us, we've calculated what we need to satisfy your orders, Hasbro, and we're not going to be able to get it. Can you help us try and get it? And that's when Marianne Ritchie, whose job it is to try and work on meeting schedules, got in touch with Southern Clay Products and said, is there any way you can expedite those last 3 months' worth of delivery? Now, Your Honor, Judge Pellmeyer made a finding of fact that Kathy Esposito, her testimony was that she did not go back and recalculate how much Laffanite Cloud was ordering, how much Laffanite Cloud said it was going to be receiving. Judge Pellmeyer made a finding of fact that Kathy Esposito did not do that. Judge Pellmeyer made a finding of fact that Kathy Esposito relied on her vendor. That's not unusual. These are merchants here. She relied on her vendor to comply with Hasbro's purchase orders.
You know, my question will tie into what you're saying, but because in your brief, you placed a great deal of emphasis on the terms and conditions.
Yes, Judge.
That Mr. Keene signed.
Yes.
But how much relevance would those terms and conditions have, given that those terms and conditions say nothing about specific goods and materials? They say they specify no quantity terms, and Judge Pellmeyer found that the February and April purchase orders were based at least in part on oral conversations. So when you put all of it together,
Your Honor, the October 23rd terms and conditions are relevant for the reasons that Jeff Graham, again, the person at Cloud that dealt with Hasbro, testified and admitted. They're relevant because Cloud received this document, and Cloud was being asked to sign off on Hasbro's terms and conditions so that in the future, when subsequent orders came back in, Cloud did not have to sign off and send the paperwork back to Hasbro. Mr. Graham testified that he took those terms and conditions in October of 95, and he read them word for word and compared them with Hasbro's purchase orders. Mr. Graham testified that when the later purchase orders came in, he took those later purchase orders and he compared them with the October 23rd, 1995 terms and conditions to make sure they said the same thing. Your Honor, I see my time is up. May I?
Well, you have another minute. Where did the district judge get this idea that you need clear, unequivocal, and decisive evidence of a waiver?
Your Honor, that's the law in Illinois. And in the Uniform Commercial Code, Section 2209 does not spell out or define the term waiver. The only guidance the court had was this court's decision in Wisconsin Knife. And in Wisconsin Knife, what the court ruled is that in waiver, there has to be something on the part of the party claiming waiver in terms of a reliance. And the opinion in Wisconsin Knife also recognized that since this concept isn't defined in the code, you have to look to the common law. Excuse me, that's what Judge Easterbrook said in his dissenting opinion. It was not discussed by the majority opinion.
And couldn't that reliance be Hasbro's silence?
No, Your Honor, it couldn't. And this goes back to something that Judge Posner said a little bit ago, and that is when Cloud was arguing, and that is these parties have been dealing together since at least as far back as 1990. Your Honor, you asked about the course of dealing, the past conduct between the parties. Mr. Brand testified at trial that every single time Hasbro ordered any material from Cloud on any project, there was a signed written purchase order that came in from Hasbro to Cloud every single time until what originally in this case was a verbal purchase order in April of 1996. Mr. Graham further testified that on every single project, including the Wonder World project.
So obviously there was a modification of their practices.
No, Your Honor, there wasn't a modification of their practices.
But the judge found there was an oral agreement.
No, Your Honor, the judge found that Hasbro placed these orders in February and April and that those orders were confirmed by Hasbro's signed written purchase orders, and that's the practice that Mr. Graham testified to. I received an order from Hasbro, and then I received, within days, a signed written purchase order from Hasbro confirming those orders.
Well, Judge Pallmeyer certainly found that the February and April purchase orders were based, at least in part, on oral
Absolutely.
Conversation.
Absolutely, and that within days after those purchase orders were given over the phone orally, they were followed up by the written confirmation. As a matter of fact, in a footnote in Judge Pallmeyer's opinion, the court...
But if you have an oral agreement, you don't need a written confirmation.
In this, I believe you do, Your Honor.
No, you don't, because if you have a contract, you have a contract.
That's right. It's not required to enforce that oral agreement.
Right, exactly.
But the written purchase orders that followed it up provide what the terms of that agreement are. And I might note, Your Honor, as Judge Pallmeyer recognized in her opinion, Hasbro's purchase orders were the confirming writing for that oral agreement. And that purchase order set forth the terms by which the contract was going to be governed. Mr. Graham admitted that in his testimony. He understood that Hasbro's written purchase order governed the terms of that contract. Cloud never objected to Hasbro's purchase orders. It's been working with Hasbro's purchase orders since at least 1990.
What happened if people make an oral agreement and the practice has been that there's a confirmation, but the confirmation doesn't come? Well, what is the legal situation then?
Well, the legal situation, Your Honor, is that perhaps that agreement is barred by the statute of frauds, unless the party trying to enforce the contract can fall within one of the exceptions to the statute of frauds. And then if the party can fall within one of the exceptions, the party has to go about presenting evidence to prove that, in fact, there was an oral contract. Your Honor, in this case, not only has Cloud not fallen within any of the exceptions of the statute of frauds, but Cloud, even if it could get beyond the statute of frauds, counsel said so himself as he was standing here, they have no oral agreement for which any evidence or testimony has been presented. Hasbro never consented, orally or in writing. In order to show that Hasbro accepted this proposed modification by a course of performance, Cloud has to show, not objectively, as Cloud argues, but subjectively, that Hasbro had knowledge that Cloud was performing contrary to those purchase orders and in some other manner. Only with actual knowledge can Hasbro call up Cloud and say, hey, wait a minute, you are exceeding our...
But wait a minute, they're sitting there and it's coming in.
Your Honor, that's not what happened, Judge. At the end of this production, if you will, when Cloud filed its lawsuit, Cloud still owed Hasbro 910,000 packets for one size of these packets. I believe it was small, I'm not certain. And Cloud still owed Hasbro 428,000 of these packets for the other size. Hasbro never accepted more than what it ordered under its purchase orders, at no time. As a matter of fact, Hasbro had to kick and scream with Cloud, and there's correspondence from a Mr. Robeson to John O'Malley at Hasbro that reflects this. It's in the record. Hasbro had to kick and scream to say, give us the rest of our packets and we'll pay you for them. And what Mr. Robeson, the president of Cloud, said was, I'm afraid to give it to you. This is what he wrote in his letter. I'm afraid to give it to you because it might be construed as a settlement or a compromise of our position. So Judge Robner, Hasbro never accepted more than what it ordered. Hasbro always complied with its purchase orders.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Gibson.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Mr. Bungie, how much time do you have?
First of all, apply to the brief filed by Hasbro. The judge made, 45 pages of findings of fact, 67 findings of fact. The same arguments that counsel is making here and making in their briefs, the factual arguments based on the testimony of individual people, were considered by the district court. The credibility of those witnesses was evaluated, and the court went ahead and made the findings of fact that are in the decision. And there's no suggestion that any of those findings of fact are totally erroneous. We are willing to stand on the findings of fact, and under those circumstances, we think the starting point should be the findings of fact that are made by the court, unless there's something outside the findings of fact, and I didn't hear that from Mr. Gustafson, that requires that something be done about them. Mr. Gustafson, just some minor points. Mr. Gustafson said that they were begging for the packets. We called the record, and it's in the findings of fact, in December and January, we called Hasbro and said, where do you want these shipped? They never told us where to ship them. The reason they didn't tell us, in retrospect, if you read between the lines, is because Hasbro Far East said, don't get any more. In March, they came back for the first time and said, this contract is governed by the February and April quantities. This is in March of 1997, and we acknowledge that we owe you some more, that we're obligated to purchase some more packets under those original quantities. But this is March of 1997, after the Wonder World project is dead, after Hasbro is trying to dig its way out of this thing, and it's coming up with any excuse that it could come up with to try to limit its liability. Mr. Gustafson also referred again, I think Judge Rover did too, to Defendant's Exhibit 10, which is the letter signed by Mr. Keene, and it was not included in, we didn't include it in our short appendix because we don't think it has any relevance, and Mr. Gustafson didn't file an appendix with it in it, but I invite the court to look at it. I mean, this is a document that's not addressed to Cloud, it's to all Hasbro suppliers. It says, we only want one copy back in the future. To avoid this in the future, we are asking that you review the attached terms and conditions, sign one copy, and return it to my attention. It does not say anywhere in this document that by signing this document, you are agreeing forevermore that any contracts that we enter into will be bound by these terms and conditions. It just says sign one because then we won't have to send you two pieces of paper in the future, and we'll just have to send you one. There's no agreement here. You can't, well, this is a Hasbro document. They sent it out. It's at best, I don't think it does anything, but at best it's ambiguous, and the ambiguity should be interpreted against Hasbro. Also, in the cloud transactions, Hasbro didn't even abide by this agreement. When Hasbro didn't just send a purchase order to cloud, it still continued to send two documents. It sent a purchase order, and it sent an order acknowledgement. The order acknowledgements are in Exhibit 229. The order acknowledgement instructed cloud to sign this order acknowledgement and send it back. Cloud never did that. The findings of the court are uniform to that effect. Instead, cloud uniformly sent back its form, its order acknowledgement form, with the request that Hasbro accept it. Hasbro never did that. And having sent these forms back and forth, the parties then went ahead and conformed and performed the agreement. The obvious answer, the reason for this, obviously, is it's a classic battle of the forms. The parties wanted to do the deal, but they weren't willing to agree to each other's forms, and that's the circumstances here.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Sorry, your time has expired also.
Thank you. I'm sorry, it's my...
I know, it was blocking the red light. That was fine. Okay, well, thank you.